Oyoin.
Into podcast.
Jane Adventures.
Everything seems so right, my baby girl, my Sarah.
Jane Adventures.
You are all I want to know, you hold my heart, so don't let go.
Of the share/listen/subscribe/download button, thanks.
Potter Who Cast.
Get thee to the Neverworld. This is the Sarah Pod Jane Cast Ventures. Season 3, episode something and something. I'm not going to know until later on. We're haunted. In a way.
Should I say something?
You can say your name if you want. I don't know. This is a stone take.
My name is Erasmus Darkening.
Erasmus Darkening.
That's my name. A very real name. Very well chosen name. Totally did not make me think this was the stupidest name I had ever seen.
It's Erasmus Darkening. Erasmus Darkening. Erasmus Darkening.
Erasmus Darkening. Erasmus Darkening. Also, I have done research in this episode that I usually do. I haven't done research on the actual episode. I have done research on one of the actors.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that
so
we are not crossing any line.
I did too.
just to make sure that we don't say anything we might regret. Mm-hmm. And I've checked and I've come to the conclusion that there's nothing to be worried about in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So which leads me to say, the guy who played Toby, what the fuck is going on with him? What the fuck is that performance? It is insane.
We'll get to it. But this was broadcast on the 5th and 6th of November 2009. Again, the fucking 2009. Written by Phil Ford, who is starting to maybe he'll redeem himself in a couple of weeks, but right now, yeah, when we go to Mars, we'll be meeting another.
Oh, he wrote Waters of Mars.
Yeah, and watching this and watching that, you wouldn't know it's the same person. And directed by Alice Troughton. The gist of this one is that in 1665, this evil wizard is working for this like Lord of the Manor. Fancy pants kind of guy. He steals the kids of the Lord of the Manor, and then they all disappear. So the house is to be haunted by like ghosts and stuff. But and the Pharos Institute wants Sarah Jane to like cover for the paper for some reason. I don't know. Sarah's like
the Pharos Institute is the same guys as
like season one and last season. They kind of just pop up whenever they need like some random person, but Sarah's dismissive of ghosts and stuff, and all this stuff happens. Professor Rivers, who is
she's from fucking The Lost Boy.
Mm-hmm. She's the one who's like, we have a headset for whatever. She's less problematic than her assistant anyway, but she gets kidnapped, and it turns out that there's like that Erasmus Darkening, the wizard, is an alien who got stranded.
Don't you hate it when you have an Erasmus Darkening in your...
Yeah, they don't really deal with that anymore with the pest controllers or whatever. But Erasmus Marchwood and the kids, like, pushing back.
I have lost eternity.
It turns out that Darkening is an alien who's, like, been building a portal for, like, years and years and years to get home. But the portal, like, fucked up and, like, sucked all these people into, like, the void or whatever. Sarah Jane.
I mean, it is it is correct. You are seeing it in the correct manner. It's just the way you said it made me chuckle.
It is. Yeah, we'll get to it. Like, Sarah Jane basically just like does some weird like electromagnetic shit that like stops his plans or whatever, and then only Professor Rivers is saved. Everyone else dies. And at the end, they do the classic ghost thing where like they're like, "Oh, well, that place wasn't haunted." Oh wait, and then there's like, and you see the March with his kids in the window, and they're like, "Oh, their ghosts are real." And then the episode ends. Okay,
yes, that's what happens.
We're gonna like delve deeper into things, but we do need to get out of the way for like first and foremost. Toby is maybe one of the most like offhandedly like kind of offensive characters.
Just so distract. Okay, so what is he trying to do? I need to know what is he trying to do, because he does not do a good job.
I thought the character was, and I can say this because I am neurodivergent. I thought the character must be neurodivergent because it's very
stereotypical. Yes, that's what I also thought. That is the thing. That is why I was like, I have to know before I do anything. If I'm about to step into something, because that is what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. But then you get closer into certain things and you realize that this is maybe not the most, favorable of performances, especially with, you know, over 10 years of time between this episode coming out and today.
It just feels like they were like, all right, we need you to like, do something, and he was like, "What do you mean, do something?" It's like, it's just, you know, just make this character mindly memorable, you know, just do whatever you want to do. He was like, oh, "Got it, absolutely, I got you, fam." And then he just did this. And the thing is, when he starts off, it's very like distracting. You're like, "I don't know about this." And then as he goes on, he just kind of fucking drops it and stops like doing anything. I don't know what's going on with this guy. Mm-hmm. I just don't care. He's also such... The only time I ever got minimally interested in him is when they started telling the story about, oh, when I was a kid, I saw a face in my thing, and that was weird. And I was like, oh, here we go. We're going to get interesting. We're going to give him a backstory. And then it's like, no, but this has nothing to do with anything. So, goodbye. It was just so... And the thing is... There's also really nothing. There's no meat in the bone. It's they went to the ghost store and they said, "Give me every ghost trope." But the problem is that when you do every ghost trope, it just stops being fucking a ghost thing. It's they literally played the music from The Shining in this one. that's how much they want this to be a ghost thing. They're like, ghost, The Shining, got it. And
It's very Luigi's Mansion, I think. It's like a very kind of, you know, it's just, as you said, the kitchen sink's been thrown in and like there's no real thing. My problem as well is that like it's so engineered to be like, you know, a haunted house ride that Erasmus Darkening kind of makes no sense whatsoever and is very kind of, you know, it's just Donald Sumter getting like 2 seconds to be like, he's Rassilon in Hellbent, and he's in like, I think he's in Game of Thrones.
He is in Game of Thrones.
But one of the things as well that, and also he's in The Sea Devils, which you can now stream on iPlayer. One of the things about Erasmus Darkening is that they cross his threshold. Much money about it.
Yes.
And also, he's kind of like, it's very haunted house. Villain, like very haunted house actor who has to, you know, he's on like his fifth round of people coming in to do the ride. He has to kind of still muster up the energy to be like, whoa. He has that line reading where he's like, "You disappoint me, Sarah Jean Sneed."
Is the one I was thinking. "You disappoint me, Sarah Jean Sneed." It really does feel like he's like, He really just feels like he's like, all right, let's wrap this up. Let's get going. Let's finish this ASAP and I'm done. Can I get a check? And bye. Which, you know what? Major respect.
Mm-hmm.
Major respect. I always respect people who are like, I gotta go. I got a thing. I'm out. Fine. I'm totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. they really give nothing for like any of these characters. Like I mean my big problem with Clyde in this episode isn't so much that he has nothing to do, but also that it just feels like he's become a fucking Family Guy reference machine. He starts making these references that are like, what kid in 2008 knows what all of this is? Like, it just feels like, oh man, Ronnie, this is worse than the time we faced off against the Sweeney Todd characters. That's what he feels like. That's what he feels like to me. And it's just, at one point he references the Sixth Sense. No, it's not her, him. I think it's Ronnie.
I think if Ronnie says like, it makes sense, they're all yes. Ghosts were there.
And then also he says Hogwarts Tim Burton style, which is like, what? What are you talking about? It kind of feels like I want Ronnie to be like, what are you talking about? Or it's that Jennifer Lawrence like, well, what do you mean? What do you mean?
The other thing as well is that like I know even the Family Guy joke there, but he literally does do a Family Guy joke of like, you know, He references like, oh yeah, and the time we went to see the Gorgon as well, you know.
Oh, remember that time we fought the Gorgon? I remember.
The thing as well is that obviously they didn't have Luke in this episode, but they reference Luke so many times. It's like they're trying to remind you that Luke exists because they're worried you're going to forget that he's a part of the show. Like every 2 seconds, Clyde's like, of course Luke would be here if Luke was doing this. Or
he's in the next episode. I don't give a shit. He's in the next episode. Why? To me, the thing is, if you want to tell a haunted house story, the first thing, the ghost's got to be specific. That's what I like about, what's the name of that Series 7 episode?
Hyde.
Hyde. That's what I like about Hyde. Hyde is literally just, they're like, okay, there's this one ghost who keeps showing up, and they're always doing the same motion, and then they just do little variations on that same idea. And then eventually they reveal what the ghost is. There's no like bullshit. There's so much bullshit in this. There's so much stuff where it's like, why are the ghosts doing this? Why are the ghosts having all these games play them in itself? Why are the ghosts having all these dolls jump around? What does this accomplish in the long term of thing? Why are you doing this? Explain yourself, ghosts. Explain yourselves.
The thing as well is that, and I know like they're not going to like stop and be like, don't worry, guys, we'll reference all this, but like all those guys, all the people like who are ghosts who aren't, you know, a named character, like, die still. They all like, you know, they're gone at the end of it. But, like it's just like a haunted, it's a haunted house ride, I think. And it kind of ties into my problem with this season, which is that like I think
it feels like they had an idea and then they just forgot to write a story for it.
It's like, outside of the first episode, there's like very little in the way of like compelling stuff. And like the closest we get to like anything like vaguely compelling is, I think, in a way, like the stuff with Randy and her friend in episode 2, and then the stuff with Nigel Havers in the last episode, I think. Other than that, like the villains are all like a major step down, I think. And we'll get to that next week. Next week's villain, I think, is just it's colossal flop here. Any juice it had from like series 2, I think, is slowly coming out of the fruit that is the Sarah Jane Adventures, I think.
Yeah.
It just feels like such a step down, and it feels like a really like annoying step down, because like there's so much potential in like the idea of, you know, Sarah Jane in a haunted house. And then it doesn't really do anything with that. It just feels like a real kind of fumbling of what was a very, I suppose, what was a slightly firm bag.
Yeah. What can I say about you disappoint me, Sarah Jane Smith.
I don't know. Yeah, like there's nothing like it's the problem I have with a lot of Phil Ford episodes. It's just that like, The ideas are there, but then the execution is just feels so like offhand and lazy, and like
it feels like there's so much going from one location to coming back to another.
Yeah, and like there's just nothing to grab onto. Like the major thing we're talking about here isn't like the plot. It isn't like, you know, the ideas of play or anything. It's the performances of two actors who are giving different kinds of, you know, over the top demonstrations, you know, like you have Toby giving his incredibly cursed and problematic thing, and you have Donald Sumter being like, I'm clocking off in 5 minutes, and I'm like, does he yell my lines at you and then disappear? Like, there's no, like, there's nothing really that, like, really stands out. And, like, the conclusion to all this is so rushed. It's like next week as well. Like, it's so rushed in, like, them trying to tie up, like, everything. So, like, oh, yeah, electromagnetism, let's try that. Oh, it works great. You're all fine. That's fine. We're going to leave now. Like, there's just nothing. There's no, like, it just feels so clumsy and, like, careless and, like, totally just, I don't even know. It doesn't feel like the show is, you know, it feels like they're all over. It feels like an overworked show, which it might have been because at this point, you know, production team is working on, you know, these big specials. There's all this stuff going on outside of it. Maybe you didn't have time, but like, it just feels so lazy.
Yeah.
And so like bland and boring and just so uninteresting. In terms of an hour TV,
it made me think of like because when we're recording this, it's November 3rd, and I keep thinking about how RTD is like talking about we should have had like a huge spinoff and blah, blah, blah and all this, and it's like now that I'm actually looking back at this time with one that I'm actually like reading this particular time. Like catching up on this particular time of Doctor Who history, I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, it just feels like some of these spinoffs are like treading water. There's not really, because I feel like the big problem with doing a Doctor Who spinoff, and I can't believe I'm about to launch my treatise on the episode about the Eternity Trap. I feel like my big problem with these Doctor Who spinoffs is that the main concept behind them. And by that, I mean both Sarah Jane and Torchwood, is that they were like, okay, let's make Doctor Who, but for adults. Or let's make Doctor Who, but for mostly a young audience. And I feel like the problem with that is that you can't really, you just end up doing like a half-baked version of the idea. Because the thing that makes Doctor Who so good is that it's for both. It's for a family. Everyone can watch it. Everyone can enjoy it. So for you to try to make one that's exclusively for one audience, it just feels like you're like, for some reason, you're hobbling yourself. Like, you know, it's like you're, what's that name of that game? You tie your leg to someone else. It just feels like doing that. Yeah, it just feels like doing a three-legged race, except you don't even have one leg.
Mm-hmm.
So it just comes across to me as like unnecessary. And what are we adding here? At least these ones. These episodes are making me think that. Because every once in a while you get like an episode where I'm like, okay, this is something that Doctor Who could not do. Like, you get a Children of Earth. But it's like, it took Torchwood 3 series to do Children of Earth, you know?
Yeah.
And then when they finally go and do something that fits their, like, their objective, my first reaction was like, I don't know if this fits in the same universe as Doctor Who, guys. We're not going to have the problem with this one, because, I mean, again, I don't think that's the problem with Sarah Jane, but it does come across as, like, this is the light version of what the original show is, which is, like, fine, but also, Doctor Who is not a complicated show. I don't know why you would meet a kid and be like, well, we can't start you off on Doctor Who. We have to start you off on Sarah Jane Adventures. Like, why? Why? It's not that complicated. He's a guy, he's in the ship, and he goes through space and time. I don't know, man. It just comes across as like, I forgot so much of this story as it happened. Mm. Literally, it was erased from my mind. I did notice they made a reference to the Stone Tape, which is a Quartermass story, if I'm not mistaken, unless that is a real thing, and they were just referencing the real thing.
I don't know if it is. I don't know if it is or not. It might be. It might not be. It is a real theory that, like, it's in the episode, it's presented as like scientific fact that it will happen, but for some reason, but like, it's a theory that like stone can record certain like memories and stuff, but like as like. as I said, like in this episode, they're like, you know, oh yeah, you know, it happened. Like Stone's often been talked about as like a great replacement for tape, you know. And it's like, what are you talking about? It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it feels like their idea was, okay, let's do like a scary ghost episode. Okay, that's, you know, haunted house. Sarah Jane, the kids are there. They're going to investigate. There'll be like ghostly going on and stuff. It'll be all whatever. And mm-hmm. then they were like, well, what do we do? Let's just jangle the keys for a while and let the episode like play out.
Yeah.
It's like this is a series where they did.
We sound so defeated. We sound defeated.
Well, if we sound defeated now, we're going to be dead next time. But like, this is a series that.
Next time is just baffling. This is what I'm saying. Next time is baffling. This one is boring. Next time is baffling.
Next one is like, it's like, okay, maybe that can cook. But like, this is a series that has done episodes where the kids have dealt with, like, you know, dementia. They dealt with an alien god that kills her friend and replaces her with a girl who's going to die like at that time, like 40 years ago. An episode where that same alien god makes it so that like Sarah Jane's parents maybe don't die and that Sarah Jane has to convince them to die. Like, this is a show that's done like such serious stuff, and it just feels like it's turned into like a show where, like, you know, it's time for the zany adventures of Sarah Jane and her friends. It just feels like a real step down from where the show could be. And mm-hmm. hopefully it'll step back up, but like it feels a bit, you know, it feels a bit kind of misguided or whatever. No, we're making it sound like it's like a war crime, but it's just a very boring like 40 minutes of television that like doesn't really go anywhere.
It's boring.
The guy playing Marchwood was in Smallville, which I find funny. He was General Zod in Smallville. Never seen Smallville.
I do not know. I'm not going to acknowledge that. Yeah. I feel like in honor of Donald Sumter, we should fucking finish this episode by yelling. I mean, I say that, but I will not do that because it is 8:42 a.m. and I do not want to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
I realized they said I did not want to wake up, and then I didn't finish the sentence.
Wake me up, and so. Haunting of Hill House, eat your heart out as well, because Sarah Jane got there first. The other thing about as well, I have one more note, which is that Toby. Is there's a bit where like they're talking about like, oh, it's an alien, and Toby's like, no, it's a ghost. And it's like okay, Toby. But anyway, next time.
Come out, whoever you are. I can hear you breathing. Who would have thought a painting would have such good hearing, Mona Lisa? But then Leonardo was such a stickler for detail. On the subject of detail, mind filling in the obvious blank?
My name is Sarah Jane Smith, and that is a Sontaran blast. Do you mind telling me where you got it?
Ooh. Well, I just took it from the painting that lad Clyde did, because I thought it looked a little bit flash.
Oh, Clyde. You better not have harmed him or his friends.
Oh, no, don't concern yourself. They're perfectly safe. I'm Lionel Harding, curator of the museum.
Mr. Harding, whatever is happening here, don't worry. I can help you.
Thank you. I'm not sure I need it.
No. See, Harder's here. He's my number one fan.
Listen to me, she is dangerous. Look what she did to Miss Trapp.
Ooh. Now you don't want to worry about that old trout, do you, Harder's? I mean, you never did before, did you? Well, let's face it, she never was an oil painting. At least not till now.
Lisa, now!
Ooh, I might think about it. Depends if you stay out of my way. Sarah Jane Smith. Sarah Jane. Where do I know that name? Oh. Oh. Ooh. That's Sarah Jane.
Seems like no one wants you around, Sazza. Not even your son. What? Heard him talking before. He'd like you to keep your nose out. So would I.
I'm sorry, whatever you're planning, I am not stepping aside.
That's your choice.
Nubia Bella!
My brother.
Is it me or did things just get uncomfortable?
Next time we're officially going into okay guys territory. But yeah.
Okay guys. Okay, what does guys. That mean?
we'll find out. Oh yeah, I don't think the only thing I want to say is that the location, no, when they're outside and they hear like the Shining music, and this happens again next episode as well. That location has carried Doctor Who for years, because that's the location where, like, it's in like five or six different episodes. It's the location where Missy has like tea with that guy in Deep Breath. It's the location where Amy is in The Girl Who Waited. It's all these episodes. It's really
Doctor Who using locations, insane. I can't believe it.
It's really too unfortunate much. That I recognize this right away, though, and next week's one as well. It's very unfortunate. I was like, "Oh, that's a Doctor Who location." My brain is broken. But yeah, okay. I think that's about it. You disappointed me, Sarah Jane Smith. I better get audio that it won't make sense otherwise.
Sarah Jane Smith.
Goodbye.
Sounds like he's falling down a hole as he says, "Sarah Jane Smith."
Disappoint me, Sarah Jane Smith.